Hey, this is Sardonis, and you're listening to Post Rock Paper Scissors. Alright, welcome to Post Rock Paper Scissors. This is Armand here. Today is one of our curated podcasts. On the episode today, we've got our guest, who goes by the name of Suga, who is a writer of the Silent Ballet. Are you still writing on the Silent Ballet?
I'm still on staff, but my production has been very low in, let's say, the last year.
Suga is one of the behind-the-scenes men. Is that right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say like I'm a driving force behind the scenes, but I'm working on some things that will hopefully become clear in maybe hopefully this year. But we'll see about that when it when we get there.
All right. I won't reveal anything or try to spoil anything. Is there anything you want to mention about what you're working on? Or is there anything we can mention?
I think a little bit of mystery never hurt anybody, and I think that's all that people need to know for now.
All right, that sounds good. So, Suga is from Belgium, so he's got a special Belgium-themed show for us. Is that right?
Yeah. So basically, I'm one of the few European mainland people on staff at Asylum Belize, so I took it upon me to do a little Belgian-themed podcast. So I thought opening with Grail's Belgian wake-up drill might be a nice track to set the tone, since I personally really like Grails, and I love just the Belgian wake-up drill. The sound of it is just brilliant. And I think it kind of grasps the genres, if you will go through the playlist. So it's mostly maybe not the most known bands. Some of them have been featured at the Silent Ballet, some of them haven't. Some of them have been around for a couple of decades, and some of them are just coming up, so it should be an interesting mix.
That sounds good. I saw the playlist, and I listened to it, obviously. There's a broad swath, I guess. There's a little bit of every genre, so that's good to hear. So all these tracks are from Belgium, so I wanted to ask a few things about maybe, I guess, the scene in Belgium. Like, the Silent Ballet we've covered is pretty much, for the most part, a very experimental, ambient, or instrumental website. So is that style of music a big thing or not well known at all? How's the scene in Belgium?
The scene in Belgium usually tends to be quite scattered. There's first of all, there's a bit of the problem of having a French-speaking and a Dutch-speaking part in Belgium, which sort of tends to the media focusing on their own half of the country that speaks their own language. But there's some genres that tend to cross those borders quite well, some of them not so much. But the main problem in Belgium is that even though there is a scene for the ambient niche or the post-rock niche, there are not that many people in Belgium. So, as I said, the scene is quite scattered. It's quite hard to get people out to come to events unless you really have a huge lineup, since it's just a handful of people here and there most of the time.
All right. One thing I found sort of interesting was a lot of these artists, or all of them, I guess, except Grails, are from Belgium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except I think Mohel is the exception to the rule, since they're half Belgian and half Icelandic. And the guy behind Premonition Factory is Dutch of origin, but living in Belgium for quite a few years now. So I guess that counts as Belgian. We adopted him.
Okay. Good enough. So one thing I wanted to ask was, a lot of these bands or artists have English names and English song titles. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing this is common in Belgium. So why is it that maybe they don't have like a Belgian name? Or what's the main language? Dutch?
Yeah. The biggest part of the population is Flemish, with like 60% who speak Dutch or their regional dialect, which falls under the Flemish. And the other part is French. But I think that the fact that most of the titles and band names are English points out one of the bigger issues Belgian artists have, and that is that, again, the scene in Belgium isn't that big, so they always try to aim internationally. And, especially in these days where the internet has become one of the bigger outlets for starting bands, to try to focus beyond the borders of Belgium to find an audience and to sell their music, so to speak.
All right. If you turn on the radio, are there stations where you'll hear, you know, one song in French and then the next song's in Dutch and then the next song's in English, kind of? Does that exist?
Probably in Brussels, but I'm not in Brussels, so I don't listen to any radio there. But the French-speaking part, Wallon, and the Flemish-speaking part, each have their own media outlets that just focus on one language. So okay. Unless in Brussels, where you probably have some more internationally focused stations, it's mostly just focused on that language. Of course, there's major influences on the radio from the US and from England. And there is some local artists on the radio, but not all that much, to be honest, which is sad, really.
On a lighter note, let's get into the playlist so we can talk about some of the great artists. So we mentioned that we started off the show with Grails. What's the song that's going to start off this next block?
The next song is Corvo by Motic, who has been around for a handful of years. And they really shifted from a bit of simplistic, I wouldn't say, but basic post-rock to pop-influenced post-rock, while they're now become something on their own and are really getting quite a lot of airplay on the radio and things like that. They also managed to have EMI Records to spin off a new sub-label, which signed them and two other bands, so that actually one of the bigger labels in Belgium tried to focus on the more experimental scene, so which is something I do my head off for Motic for achieving that. But overall, they're really just an enjoyable band. They have a large focus on visuals, which obviously it's not going to be that obvious in the podcast, but go check out motic.be, I'd say. And yeah, visually quite interesting stuff and musical as well.
All right. So here is Motic with Corvo. welcome back. On the show today, we've got our guest, Suga, from Belgium, who curated today's podcast. What did we play in that last block there?
That was Frank Shinobi with Destination Dubai. Frank Shinobi is a band from the French-speaking part of Belgium. And they've really taken me by surprise last year on a festival where it was kind of difficult age because our government just fell and the whole issues between Wallon and Flemish speaking people. And they really just got up on stage and won the hearts of a few hundred people there, which was quite impressive. And besides that, they're quite unique as far as their sound goes in Belgium. They have like a strange mix between a bit of dub and sort of more technical, experimental a la Battles, and even tending towards some Mars Volta-ish parts, which is, quite interesting.
All right, sounds good. So you heard them at a festival? Was this the Raw Lovely Festival, or is that, I don't know if that still goes around.
The Raw Festival, I think, had its last edition in 2008.
If I'm not mistaken,
I should look that up. They've been quiet for a few years after that, aside from an occasional show with Grills. I think they did one on like Tuesday night, which was quite impossible for me to make it over there. But the last year, they've been putting on some gigs again throughout the Wallon part, and even trying to get some feet in the Flemish part. So kudos to them for keeping it up.
All right, sounds good.
It's good to see some good promoters to stand up and trying to get some international renowned band on stage here.
So what's the next track coming up right here?
So that will be Mogil, the half-Belgian, half-Icelandic band with the track Traangas, which translates to tear gas. And even though it might not be the best representation of their music, it's one of the most compelling to me because it's basically just some violin and some whistling and some clarinet, I believe. And it will become clear soon enough when people hear a track. It's so frail. It really is quite vulnerable to put yourself in a position like that on stage. It's really, quite breathtaking to see that happening live because it's really, as I said, quite frail.
All right, sounds good. I thought this was, I think, my favorite song on the playlist. It was really a very pretty song. It was very nice. So we'll just jump into this, and I'll let you pronounce it because I'm going to butcher that song title.
Mm-hmm. So this is Mogil with Traangas. Thank you.
All right, welcome to Post Rock Paper Scissors. On the show today, we've got our guest Sugar from Belgium, who curated today's podcast. What do we play in that last block there?
So first we had Mogil with Tranjas, and the last track we heard was Rock from Aranis, or Aranis, which is stepping into the greater tradition of rocking opposition bands in Belgium. Because I really wanted to pick a band like that, who have this neoclassical yet rock-influenced sound. So I had the choice between Présent and Univers Zero, but I thought it might be better to pick a band who wouldn't sue me afterwards, and that actually is still active. So I picked Aranis, which is quite a compelling band. I think they've been around for some 6 or 7 years and have 5 releases in the meanwhile. So they're, even though they're keeping a low profile, they're quite productive.
Is this sound more common in Belgium?
It's not. I wouldn't say it's common, but we do have quite a history with what falls under the rock in opposition scope. From the early 70s on, really, with the Univers Zero, who, alongside with Henry Cow and Slapeppy and bands like that, really invented a new genre, so to speak.
Sounds good. So what are we moving into in the next block here?
Well, the next block is mainly going to be ambient, drone, post-folk oriented, with some really interesting bands, I'd say. The first one is Premonition Factory, with the title song from his debut, 59 Airplanes Waiting for New York. And that's really a good example of live looping music, since it's it is an album, but all of the songs are composed live. So the way it works, there's just one guy with a bunch of keyboards and laptops, things like that. And he really goes building on the structure he makes throughout the song. So artists have a faint idea of where they're going with the piece, but they never know how it's going to end up. And Premonition Factory really succeeds in building a sonic universe that is so open to interpretation, you can just have hour-long discussions of what you were just listening to. It's really up to the imagination of the listener to decide how they want to place it or how their focus in the music goes. It's really open to interpretation, and that's what makes it so appealing.
Do they do live shows, I guess?
Yeah.
Playing this?
There's the annual Live Looping Fest in Antwerp, which has been the 3rd edition this year. And we had bands like Aidan Baker and Theo Travis playing there this year. And it's getting to a full venue. It's been hard to get it off the ground, to get people out of their lazy couch, but it's starting to go well. So we're hoping to see the festival grow over the next few years and to bring even more artists to the stage there. Because it's... It doesn't really fall under ambient because the approach of rocking is totally different. But it's a great concept to see live, and it's interesting to see this evolve throughout Europe and even South America. There are artists working with that technique, and it has a broad range of influences, and it's interesting to see where that's going.
That sounds really interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing more stuff like this. I guess I should go check out the album by...
I think the best place to do that would be liveLooping.be or something like that. Maybe I'll just provide a link for the footnotes of the podcast.
Yeah, sure.
And I think you'll be able to find most of the artists with video footage there of their performance. It's definitely worth checking out.
Okay. All right, so we'll just jump into the song. Here is Premonition Factory with 59 Airplanes Waiting for New York.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Armand here with our guest Suge from Belgium, who curated today's podcast. What did we play in that last block there?
So first we had the Premonition Factory. Then we had Fear Falls Burning with Echoes 3. And the last song was by Kiss the Anus of a Black Cat. And it was the song Dip Ditch. Fear Falls Burning is one of the many projects of Dirk Series, who you might also know from projects such as Vidna Obama, Continuum, project of his alongside with Stephen Wilson from Porcupine Trees and dozens of other bands and projects. He's been one of the driving forces in the drone and ambient scene for like the past 20 years, if not more. And it was hard to pick one song by him, since there's a gigantic back catalog of so many projects. But I thought Echoes 3 kind of was a nice piece to give an idea of what Fear Falls Burning is about. Although the project is nearing its end, because there's one release in the pipelines for hopefully later this year. And it is very likely that it will be the last release of this project. But as I said, Dirk Series, man of many projects. His latest is under his own name, and is more focusing on the live looping niche, as said before. It's really just one guy with an amplifier and a guitar on stage and a bunch of effect pedals. But pieces go over 15 minutes into half an hour, so that wasn't very ideal to put in a podcast. But Fear Falls Burning was one of his first projects I discovered, and it really has a savage sound to it. Some of the records are, I dare to say, more difficult to get through than a Godspeed record. They're beasts. It's amazing what he can do with sound. It's really impressive to hear the evolution as well from his early projects, where he was really experimenting with sound and the effect it had on people, until a more stylistic approach he has these days. It's if you're into experimental, ambient, drone-ish music, definitely something to check out. And the last track we had was by Kiss the Anus of a Black Cat, which you just have the love because of the artist's name, really.
It's a great name.
Yeah, brilliant, really. I think if you hear people mention that name, it's like, yeah, so what am I expecting music-wise? Is it going to be metal? Is it going to be...
Exactly, yeah.
And it's been really hard to try to put a label on this artist, because he's been around for a few years and has a few releases, but they all have a different focus. And The Nebulous Dreams, the album where this last track was taken from, opens with like an 8-minute piece of noise drone, and then shifts into something more folky. I don't know if folk would be the right way of attempting to label it, but I really like the approach he has in Diptych, because it's almost like two tracks with like the marching piece in it. Really reminded me of Carl Sanders, who some of you out there might have heard of. It's a bit of an ambientish, not really, project of the lead guy of a technical death metal band, but they have a focus on Egyptian setting. And what he does with his music reminded me a whole lot of that track, so I thought it would be a good opportunity to do some name dropping. But anyway, so Kiss the Anus of the Black Cat is one guy from Ghent, and folk drone, he comes from the punk scene, so it's interesting to have seen him evolve for a couple of years and to be surprised with every release, really, because there's you always have expectations build up on the last release, but there's no way telling where he's going to go. He has big interest in Like some of the local instruments, strange looking little piano things. And he's been collaborating with a couple of people for live gigs and things like that as well. So it's interesting to see where he comes from with the punk background and going into folk. And yeah, I'm curious where it's going to go next, because I said no releases are the same.
I'm just curious, if you're listening to this on your headphones, do you want the person sitting by you to ask you what you're listening to, or are you hoping that they don't ask you?
I personally love it to for artists to have slightly fucked up names. It just helps in the name dropping in a bar or in the train. If people ask, so yeah, what kind of music do you like? If you can say Kiss the Anus of a Black Cat, they're going to remember it. They're going to check it out if they come home. So it's a smart move, really.
Yeah, it's true. It sticks in your head. You won't forget this.
No, you're not going to forget it that easily. So good for him.
All right. So what's the next song that we're going to start off this next block with?
So the next song is by Stake Number 8 and is entitled Blood on Our Hands. And it's from a 2008 debut, and the band members were between 14 and 17 years old at that time, which was, how do you say that? It was a bit of a gimmick for the media, but the album itself it's just good. It's they grew up at home with like Isis and bands like that, and it really is like a proof of concept what it does to your kids when they listen to good music instead of plain crap. They recently released their second album, which it's been sitting on my desk for some time, but I haven't listened to it yet because I only just recently saw them, and to be honest, I wasn't too impressed with the new work. They headed out to LA to do some of the recording and mixing, and they seem to be pushed to put out the last album, whereas the first album really was something they did in their attic and came out with because they won a huge rock contest in Belgium. And I'm afraid the debut will go into history as their best album. No matter what they're to release in the future, I'm afraid they're already over their top. But nonetheless, they can always surprise me in the future, and I hope they will. But When the Candle Dies Out, the 2008 album really is in my regular rotation. It's a good album. It's really something the fans of post-metal need to get into, because I can imagine it's quite obscure abroad.
Yeah.
And if you can just say to people, listen to this and, whoa, that's good. And you can say, yeah, it's just 14, 15, 16-year-old guys from Belgium. That's a nice foot in.
Yeah, that's going to kind of suck if you're 14 to 16 and that's when you peaked. But
yeah. But I think they had quite a lot of attention with their debut, mostly because they won one of the biggest rock contests, concours, in Belgium. And I think the family and people they surrounded themselves with might be a bit too pushy to get them a bit more attention abroad, so they had to compromise on their music. Maybe the album came too soon, maybe they didn't have the time to do what they want, maybe they're just coasting of the success of the first one, I don't know, but I hope I'll be proven wrong in the future with an album that can live up to When the Candle Dies Out.
All right, so we'll just jump into the song. Here is Stake Number 8 with Blood on Our Hands.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, welcome back. Armand here with our guest Sugar from Belgium, who curated today's podcast. What did we play in that last block there, Sugar?
The last track we had was Spellbound Fields by Todd, which has been pleasing me with its music for like the last year or something. And they just put out their first full-length, Obscured by the Wind, a couple of days or weeks ago. And I'm still amazed by how much I love what they're doing. Even though it doesn't really fall in the scope of what we cover at the Silent Ballet, but it just the picture just fits. They really nail their music. They nail their sound. The whole atmosphere of their website and their artwork, it's just right. And it's good to see a band come out that just sounds good, because I'm a big fan of how releases sound and put a lot of attention to that, and there's just nothing bad I can say about them. They're just spine-shiveringly good, in my humble opinion, for what it's worth. They kind of, because drum and bass is a big thing in Belgium for the last few years, it kind of grew out of its... It became too big for me, but they really nailed the drum and bass influences and a bit of the scary experimental ambient-y sounds, along with some good rock balls, and that's just good.
All right, sounds good. So before we end off the show, just wanted to ask you a few questions. So far in 2011. Are there any releases that kind of stood out to you, or what are your favorite releases so far?
So yeah, obviously Todd scored quite some good points with me. For the rest, 2011, I don't know, for Belgian music it has been a bit quiet so far on my radar. Nonetheless, Amon Tobin's new album just came out a few days ago, which has been really enjoyable. And I'm having high hopes, as set, for the new Fear Falls Burning record, which will hopefully be out this year. Premonition Factory's second album was good, as expected. And I don't know, I think we're still going to see a lot of releases in 2011. But as said, so far in Belgium, it seems to be rather quiet at the moment.
Okay. So before we go, is there anything you want to plug or mention before we jump into the last track?
Well, I'd say go check out the bands we've played, because they're all quite good and unique in their own special way. Belgium has a lot to offer besides beer, so I think these 10 artists might be a good way to get an idea of the rest of the scene that's been going on in post-metal and ambient and things like that. So... come support us. We're just a tiny country. Come support our bands, please.
All right. I just remembered one question I wanted to ask. Do Belgian people really care about waffles, or is that something like Americans have made up?
There will be people in Belgium who care about waffles, but I think they're mostly waffle vendors. So not so much.
Okay. Okay.
So our paycheck is in time and our beer is fresh. We're happy.
Okay, all right. So we'll just jump into this last track. Oh yeah, let's mention what it is. So what's coming up next?
Next up, we have Sardonis with the Wolf Slayer, which comes from Sardonis' first full length from last year. And they've been taking the post-stoner doom sludge scene by storm, really. They've come up like 2-3 years ago with a little EP, which is... quite rare to get these days. It's a duo, one guy on guitar and one behind the drums, but the sound they put forth is just immense. Even during live gigs, it's impressive to see what two guys are capable of on stage. You don't need 8 people playing to have a good sound. They have been taking Germany and other countries with some of the post-metal stoner interests. They've been getting good reviews and are getting there. And Sardonis, for Flemish people, it's quite funny, especially people from my age, because it's Sardonis is the name of the bad guy in a youth series, which used to drive around in a little Volkswagen that said Sardonis on the side.
Oh.
So he was anything but subtle, but it's good to see a band with a good sound adopt that name to go by. And it's maybe worth mentioning that the full-length album was mixed by Frankie VD, who was part of Channel Zero, which is like Belgium's world-famous metal band from the 90s. Sadly enough, they put their stakes in something that didn't make it, but they're working on a comeback. But in any way, it led to the full-length album to just sound awesome. It's I recommend people to get the vinyl. It's worth the cost. It just sounds awesome.
All right. Sounds good. So thank you, Sugar, for doing today's episode.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. I hope all our listeners enjoy the show. Thanks for listening. We'll just jump into this last track. Here is Sardonis with The Wolf's Lair.